Dad Bod's Media Machine presents the Brews with the Dudes podcast.
Shit off.
Like that's. That can be taken many ways.
That's a terrible insult, or that's like a, you know.
Is shit off nicer than fuck off? Is that like the step below?
I guess it could be. It all depends on your hierarchy of curse words. You know, because if you figure like your curse words have to be like they're generally there's an order to it where you go like, yeah. Oh, there's a little more magnitude to this one than there is to say, you know, shit, ass, damn. Like you go, oh, well, this one's a little more hardcore.
I think it depends on who you're talking to, though.
Yeah.
Because like there are some of my coworkers where like the C word isn't high up there. I'm like, oh, no, that's a bad word to say. But like if I'm at grandma's house, C word is the worst word I would ever say.
Really?
So, oh yeah.
That's true. I have said fuck in front of my grandmother, but I've never dropped the C-bomb, which is funny because we're saying the C-word because we don't want to say it on the podcast.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Because on the hierarchy, fuck is better than the C-word on the podcast.
That's crazy. Well, then that almost puts it up there with the N-word because nobody ever says the actual word anymore. Yeah. It's just the N-word.
Well, I think the N-word, though, is its own category.
It's its own. Yeah. Well,
no, it's not. I'm not its own category. It's in a separate category than the C word.
Right. C-word, I don't think any like there hasn't been enslavement of generations and then a word assigned to those people incredibly derogatory way using the word cunt. Hello and welcome to another podcast by.
Brews with the Dudes.
Brews with the Dudes, that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah, by Dad Mods.
For Brews with the Dudes. I'm Jake.
I'm Donnie.
And we're the Dudes.
And these are our brews.
And tonight, we are sipping on that scissor. It's the 17-7 Pale Ale by Castle Danger.
I don't know if I've ever had this.
You've probably had it. It's a very stable, like, it's in our area, so Castle Danger, which is literally the name of a place, not a... Like, not just the brewery, like, it's a name of a little town in northern Minnesota. So, pretty much the most epic name ever.
Very epic. They also have a cream ale that's super good.
They do,
and that I've had. This, it tastes familiar. You're right. I probably have had this at some point in time.
Yeah, so I decided to grab a pale ale that is a little heavier because we've been doing IPAs for so long. I thought Donnie loves a beer with a little more... Like, you like to chew on your beer sometimes, so I was like, well, I'll get a pale ale that I know is a little darker.
Which is ironic, because the wife and I had date night on Tuesday, went to 7 West, which is a beer, they have like 30 beers on tap and fantastic burgers, and I got Foggy Geezer.
Foggy Geezer.
Which is an IPA.
Oh, that's funny. So are you finding yourself enjoying the IPAs more these days?
Well, it came down to what I was eating. Because it was either that Bent Paddle's Nitro Block.
So,
I just don't want two meals at the same time.
Right. Well, so, okay, here's the question then. What works really well with a super heavy beer like a Guinness or a coffee stout or whatever?
I almost can't have, like, I'd say a snack food is okay.
Oh, sure, like popcorn or something.
Yeah, popcorn if you're at a bar and you're just watching a game and you're having the peanuts or something.
Peanuts, yeah. Yep,
perfect beer for that.
That's true.
If you're having... Pasta, stay away from. I don't do darks with pasta.
Yeah,
burgers. Usually IPAs go with burgers for me.
Right.
Like I said, because they're so thick that I love them, but only if we're going out for just drinks.
Yeah, it for me it really depends on the dish, but I mean, I don't know. Yeah, pale ales and IPAs more often than not is what I'm eating, what I'm drinking while I'm eating. Because I drink dark beer so infrequently. When I do, it's usually a standalone experience. It's usually like maybe I've got some potato chips or something like that. It is not like... I'm definitely not having like a Cubano or something like that. And having... Because just so much flavor.
Yeah.
And, big heavy beer.
Well, for me, it also depends on the time of the year. Like,
right.
You won't see me have a stout in like July.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If it's February and it's cold, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm having a stout.
Yeah, because I definitely associate IPAs, saisons, Corona, like those lighter beers. Yeah. I associate all of that with warmer weather. And then it, definitely in the winter, I still continue to drink my IPAs. That's always kind of been, that's my shit.
That's your staple.
But definitely I'm much more inclined to have like a Burntwood Black, which is a black ale that has like a coffee flavor to it, but it's actually got like a little bit of bite. It has like
tasty.
It has a burny bite. Like it's really an interesting brown sugary almost. Like it's very good. And this is over at the Thirsty Pig and in Superior, Wisconsin.
I think I might make a trip on the way home and try it out of my way.
Yeah. Honestly, it's only growlers. It's so you're going to pick up a growler.
I'm the only one drinking in the house. I get it all to myself.
Double check the times that they're open too, though, because it is a Thursday and they might be prioritizing, you know, their hours are probably, they're probably open. Probably.
It is just check.
But yeah, so anyway, like they've got this, they're like the original in the area that had this style of beer. There's been a couple of different ones, other breweries that have made it, but
that does sound good though. Maybe I'll just swing over after work.
Yeah, for me, it's tremendous.
It also depends on where I'm at. So if we go down to Updown, which is a barcade down in the cities, which is fantastic, great
pizza. It's the best.
Best pizza around. Filled with 80s and 90s console video games. Cabinet video games. I'm sorry. They do have some consoles.
Yes, cabinet.
Like 64. They also have like 30, 40 beers on tap. They have one, and I can never remember the name of it till I get down there, but it's a chocolate milk stout. It's just super dark, but kind of...
Spotted Cow?
It's not Spotted Cow.
Okay.
But it's kind of more of a creamier beer at the same time, if that makes sense. And... only place I've ever been able to have it, and every time I go down, I'm like, I'm getting that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Doesn't matter what time of year, it's my little treat to myself.
Yeah, milk stout, that's cool.
Macaroni pizza.
Right, I know. I love that that place has made it. Like, they've survived. Yes. All of the arcade bars in the Twin Cities. If you're not from around here, the Twin Cities is St. Paul and Minneapolis, two massive metropolises that are right next to each other. Obviously, Minneapolis is, I think, quite a bit bigger, but they're massive.
Yeah, Minneapolis is like the Twin Cities are like a mullet, okay? Minneapolis is the business side, as I feel St. Paul is more of the party side.
You got that backwards.
Okay, they're backwards. St. Paul is the business side, Minneapolis. Wait.
Is the party in the back,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, party in the back, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, it depends which direction the person is facing, but that could be the effect, right?
Really bad analogy.
No, it's actually not that bad, and I bet people from the metro would actually get quite a kick out of that.
That's kind of funny. They love it, mullet?
It's Minnesota's centralized mullet. Which the funny thing is, there's probably a lot more mullets from like the Iron Range and Eye Falls than there ever would be down in the cities.
Maybe, though. Because hockey kind of took over the mullet.
Really?
Usually,
so then Duluth is where the mullets are.
I say Duluth.
Hermantown. Okay,
Denfeld.
For you guys that aren't from Minnesota and maybe don't follow hockey, because if you really follow hockey, then you know that the Midwest is like this source of, I won't say all, but I'll say like a huge number of incredible hockey players come from up here. It's crazy.
Minnesota is known as the state of hockey.
Yeah.
Like, we have two things. We have loons and hockey.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're known for.
And a lot of breweries.
A lot of breweries. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in particular, you know, Minnesota has, like, their like, high school finals is an event. It's crazy.
Their high school finals are so massive. They play where the Wild play. At least they used to.
Yeah.
I think they still do. They play at the XL Energy Center where the Wild play, the NHL team. And, like, if a school makes it that far, they'll cancel school that week. Like, you're all going down. We have buses. It's cool. There's no homework.
Is that really how it goes? That's awesome.
I remember Denfeld. They didn't make it when I was in high school, but like a year or two later they did, and it was huge. My sister was in high school at the time, and
no kidding.
It was massive.
They basically canceled school.
It was more or less forgiven if you weren't at school.
Right, right. Like they didn't expect people.
Yeah, they're like,
because everyone's traveling down to the cities for the tournaments.
Yeah.
So it's all tournament style, obviously, you know, just like the finals of any other big sport. But Yeah, it's kind of incredible. I mean, this is where, like, our Olympians come from, is from northern Minnesota. So, anyway, where were we going with that? I don't know how we arrived with that.
Mullets.
Mullets. So, yeah, that's why northern Minnesota probably has a crazy... And honestly, like, central Minnesota has a lot of amazing hockey teams, too. Yeah. But I think... What is Hermantown one?
Hermantown's like one of the best in their division. Hermantown, God, how many? East is usually pretty good.
Didn't they win nationals a couple times?
I don't know. They won nationals. I know they were so good in their division. They got bumped up. They got put up against schools that were bigger than them and had a bigger pool to draw from because they were so good.
Yeah, I know. Like Minnesota teams have won the big shit, I thought.
I know,
like,
in college they have.
That's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the college teams.
I saw a statistic. It was earlier this winter.
There are literally high school kids that get drafted into the professionals.
Yeah.
In northern Minnesota.
Yeah, they're fantastic. There's a statistic of like the top 10. This was maybe 3 or 4 months ago. Top 10 college teams at the moment, and I think 7 of them were from Minnesota.
Okay, I can see that.
So there's 6 or 7 of them were from Minnesota. I was just like, okay, yeah, that's.
Did they lump the men's and the women's in together then to do that?
No, that was men's.
Jesus.
That was. Yeah, let's see, St. Cloud State, UMD, U of M. Mm-hmm. God, I can't remember all of them, but yeah, they were primarily. From Minnesota.
That's crazy. That is just, well, that's nuts. Well, and our female teams are the same way, too. They're incredibly talented.
They're very talented. I remember when we first moved out.
I think the women's have won more championships, I think.
Maybe. I know the
UMD,
men,
I think.
I know UMD won men's twice or 3 years.
I don't know what I'm talking about, so I don't know. We should probably get some actual data on that before we start throwing
before
this
just
out.
Stuff. But
all I know is that hockey is from here.
Yes. I remember when we moved up from Kansas, and like we moved up in late summer, and driving around, I'm like, what the hell are all these like circle wooden park things? Like, what the fuck is that? And then we got snow, and they froze everything. I'm like, holy shit, they're outdoor hockey rinks. Mm-hmm. I never saw it before in my life, and I was just blown away. Like, they're so into hockey, even the parks have hockey rinks.
They're everywhere, and literally everywhere.
I remember telling my mom, like, oh, like, I could play hockey up here. Like, that sounds fun as hell. And my mom just straight up told me, you wouldn't last. Like, they learned to skate, like, a week after everybody's born. They learned to skate.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I was screwed. I still can't skate very well.
My son is behind because he's 2.5 and he's not on skates yet.
Yeah, he should already have a professional contract.
Exactly. There is actually some truth to that if you look at, like, you know, basically, like, the most talented in any particular sport, more often than not, you're starting kids as, like, just after toddlers, basically. Like,
as a soccer nut, following all the soccer news, there's academy players. So each professional team has their academy. And what they are is they'll pick up kids, you know, 10 years old and be like, okay, you're on contract and we'll develop your skills. And if we want to make a pro out of you, like, we have the rights to you. And
that's so badass.
There are kids that are like 15, 16, and they'll get their lucky shot and be like, okay, you know, this game doesn't really matter. You're going to get bumped up and go play a professional game to see how you do.
Wow.
And that's that. They go to school through the program.
Wait, 15, 16, and they're playing like Liverpool or something?
Oh, God. How old was that kid? There was a kid for Manchester United who scored over the week. I think he was 17.
Wow.
Yeah, he was like, I don't think he was 18 yet, and he played.
Holy shit.
In the American Soccer League, Major League Soccer, there's a player named, God, what is his name? I can picture, he used to play for New England. Anyways, they had a little mini-series, like documentary mini-series on him, on what it was like to play a professional sport and still have to deal with like high school homework and stuff at the same time.
That's crazy. That's so crazy. Well, hey, I mean, good on them.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the same way with extreme sports. You know, like, if you're not putting your kids on skis and snowboards when they're basically, I don't know, 3-4 years old, the people that do that, these kids are becoming Olympians later.
Well, like, I've told Christine, I'm like, So my son Roman, he's three, and he is obsessed with bowling and disc golf. Like we'll go play in the backyard. He's got a little arm on him. He can throw a disc like 40 feet.
Yeah, which is really impressive.
I've told Christine, I'm like, this is how my life's going to end up. He's going to be 16. He's going to sign a contract with some big manufacturer, and I'm just going to caddy for him and travel the country.
Yeah. That sounds like the best thing
ever. We're going to live in an RV. He's going to win tournaments, and I'm just going to carry a backpack full of plastic.
You're going to live out of the Volkswagen bus.
That's fine with me.
And be your son's bitch because he's paying your bills.
Yep. Son, I'm hungry. Go buy me pizza.
That sounds amazing. It comes full circle.
Yeah, exactly. I had to wipe his ass when he was young. And
he'll have to wipe yours.
Exactly.
I don't know if it'll work quite that way. You might still be wiping his ass because he's like, I'm paying the bills. So.
Yeah, grab that dirty $100 bill and come over and wipe this.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, man. I don't even know. Like, see, Atticus's aptitudes, it's yet to be seen. He has a serious aptitude for gymnastics already.
That's awesome.
Homie's 2.5 years old and he did a front flip off the couch.
No shit.
Chloe said that she was sitting there watching him and he, no handed, just like had his hands at his side, like kind of tipped forward a little bit and then just went, and just flipped forward and he flipped like onto his feet and ass.
Okay,
but so, he literally did a full rotation.
He was almost there.
He did like, a full rotation, yeah. Basically.
Jesus.
And so she told me that, and this was shortly after I watched him on the couch do a bounce, bounce, and then forward and did a flip. Like, flipped, made the full rotation, and then landed on his ass and back on the cushion in front of him.
Yeah, I would sign him up for gymnastics. I'm like, here you go, buddy.
He's 2.5. Well, he's probably like 2 and 9 months or 8 months.
So 2 3/4?
Basically, right. Yeah. I cannot believe he's doing this. He's huge, too. He's in the 99th percentile for height and then like the 91st for weight. This kid is gigantic. He's the size of 4-year-olds.
Yeah.
He wears 5T clothes sometimes, depending on what it is. And he's doing this crazy agile shit. I cannot believe it.
Roman's 3 and has some 2T stuff that still fits him.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. That's funny.
He's just a little scrawny bastard.
Yeah. Well, he's a little dude. But what's incredible is the fact that that kid can throw a frisbee 40 feet. That's nuts.
And it's incredible your kid can do front flips. Like,
yeah.
Kids are just crazy.
They are. I mean, and it's up to the parents to go like, okay, so you have a talent here. Let's see where this goes. Let's develop this.
Yeah, and then you have kids like Harper that just want to do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
She actually had a parent-teacher conference earlier this week, and I was probably informed about it, but forgot about it.
Of course.
So my wife went.
In the same boat.
And I was like, oh, how'd it go and all that? And she's telling me, and apparently Harper will be like invited to play with some of the other kids, and the other kids will be doing something she's either A, not interested in, or just doesn't want to deal with, and she'll just go do her own thing. She'll be like, "Yeah,
she'll just
fuck
sign
you guys.
Off.
I'm just gonna go do my own thing." And she'll just go do arts and crafts. Like apparently that's her thing is arts and crafts.
Oh no, kidding.
She loves coloring at home. She loves to color at school. Christine was
that's
like,
"A good thing."
You know, you should show Dad your pictures you drew today in school. Harper's like, "Yeah, I drew one for my baby sister who's not born yet, and then one for you and Mom." What about your brother? She's like, well.
Oh, wait, that's funny.
She's like, well.
I only had so much time.
You could tell she wasn't expecting a question. She's like, well, the other one's a family picture. I'm like, yeah, way to save your ass.
Nice. She's smart.
Yeah, for some reason.
She's really a sharp kid.
She doesn't like her brother, though. And I think it's just an age thing.
Yeah, that's got to be a big part of it. I mean, even Atticus can't stand Lumen.
Yeah.
Like, because Lumen will fuss, she'll cry. And so she's been waking Atticus up a lot of the mornings. So I think he's so fed up with her cries that, like, we'll be in the house and he'll just scream nonsense at her. Like, she'll fuss and he'll just scream at her. And it's hilarious until it's not. When you try to chill her out, it's frustrating, but it's really funny that he's basically screaming shut the fuck up. Like, I kind of can't blame him.
Well,
it's pretty annoying.
And as they both get older, I mean, she'll be able to do more with him and vice versa, and
totally
hopefully it all evens itself out. And that's what I'm kind of hoping with Roman and Harper, is right now he's that out. They both like playing outdoors, but he's more that. I want to go play disc golf if I'm outside.
Right.
As she's more like, I'm going to climb on the treehouse, and I'm hoping they kind of balance each other out eventually, where they start get some hobbies in common.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Like they both like being in the garage.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Both like going fast.
Yeah.
That's about where it stops.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll inevitably happen, or it won't, and they'll just like, you know, be pleasant with each other, hopefully, and that'll be it.
Well, that's how my sister and I are. We're 4 years apart, and we like each other. Like, we don't hate each other or anything like that. We just don't have a lot of hobbies in common. So we don't hang out a whole lot.
Right.
No, she's not into cars and soccer and disc golf, and she's into whatever she's into.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I get that, dude. Yeah, I'm definitely not as close with my siblings. Sheer distance. Like, I haven't seen my brother in years, which is fucking strange.
Yeah.
Not gonna open that whole can of worms. He's never met Atticus.
Aw.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Who knows? Like, my family doesn't know. My parents don't understand what it's all about. He just has never showed up.
I have a new nephew I should probably go meet.
He probably should. That don't be that guy. And then, like, my sister, she's got two kids, single mother, crazy busy. And basically, like, she's up in Virginia, which is an hour and a half from here, so it's just sort of like we don't get to see each other a whole lot. But we were fairly close growing up. Not, like, you know, we didn't play together a ton, but it was sort of like, hey, you're my sister. Hey, you're my brother. Cool.
Yeah.
We're cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're cool. Okay. Bye. You know, like, that's kind of the extent of our relationship.
It's just, like, they're at that weird age where there are days where Harper is amazing to him, and she'll, like, help him put on his shoes and get him a snack and stuff like that. And then there are other days where she will lose his shit because he walked into the same room she's in. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's just siblings.
I think so. That, and she's five, so she's going through that I'm independent age.
Right. Well, but she's the older sister, and that's a dynamic that I don't know anything about. I'm the older brother.
Yeah.
I'm the oldest. Age. So, like, I only know getting sick of my younger siblings because they can't keep up, or they're just not at my, you know, age, in interests, intelligence, all these kind of things where it's just, you know, you're not there, so I find you to be a burden to be around.
Yeah,
right?
You hold me back type deal.
Yeah. I can't imagine what an older sister is like, though, because, like, I was the older brother who picked on my siblings. My poor brother, and this could be why I don't see him a whole lot, is he's 8 years younger than me.
That's a big gap.
Exactly.
That's
so
a really big gap.
I gave that poor kid a lot of shit growing up because he was so much younger, and I was just sort of like, I don't know, like, you're fucking annoying or whatever. Like, I mean, I wasn't that terrible, but I was an older brother, and I picked on the both of them, definitely. So that could be a part of it. But, you know, what I don't know what older sisters do.
Yeah,
like, what older sisters do? Do they play mind games and...
I don't know.
I don't know. Or yeah, they just simply get sick of the sibling and scream at him a little bit, and then that's it.
I think that's what it is.
Probably it.
I think it's just more of a, I'm just sick of you.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, just short.
Almost got it.
Yep.
Sorry if that was super loud, you guys. Yeah. I promise I'll do that again.
You definitely will.
That's what I do.
No, I think she'll hopefully grow out of it, but it's just it must just be we don't have a lot in common. We never want to play the same thing, you know.
Right.
She likes her unicorns and her coloring, and he's a little bit more chaotic at moments.
Yeah, she wants to play Mortal Kombat, and he wants to play Mario Kart.
They both like watching Futurama.
What does that have to do with Mortal Kombat?
It's the one thing that they get along at.
That's cool. Okay.
But then they fight over who gets to sit where next to Dad.
That's cute.
It is cute, but it's a pain in the ass when Dad's worked 10 hours and I just want to sit down
and
relax.
You know what you should do? You should parlay that into who's willing to do more for me. Like, all right, you guys want to sit next to me? You get me a beer. The first person to get me a beer, you can sit next to me. And, you know, Roman is just going to fuck that up for months. But if he wants it, if he really wants to sit next to Dad, he'll figure, and the day will come where he'll kick her feet out from underneath her and step on her head and run to the fridge to grab it.
He's not quite at beer stage, but like,
yeah.
I'm like, hey, go get some popcorn.
Go get me some popcorn.
Our microwave is on the fridge. We've had bad luck with our microwave. And Remember that Jiffy Pop stuff you got to cook on the burner, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he'll go bring it in here. I'm like, no, 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 go give that to Mom.
Nice. That's hilarious. And so you have your wife and your son trained to get you popcorn.
But see, she doesn't she doesn't know that I sent him in with the popcorn. She just sees him coming with the popcorn.
Sees this like, sweet little boy saying popcorn. Oh, okay. And if she knew that it was you, she'd be like,
get off your ass and come get this, it.
You asshole. That's so brilliant.
Wow. It's all games.
So Atticus is he's starting to show an interest in like helping a little bit, and I am so excited for
that's
this
good
like
that's
this very moment good. Like he's already done like little things here and there, but this was like the first situation where it was like unprompted, he just simply helped. It was super cool.
Awesome.
So I came home from being up at the lake where I'm building a cabin. And I have my, like, little cooler, so, like, one of those little mini coolers, and I set it down, and I set it down, and I start stripping all the sawdust-covered crap off of me and whatever, and he goes over, and he starts taking the things out of it, and then he grabs the two, like, freezer packs or whatever, yeah, picks those up, and goes over to the freezer and plops them in there, and my wife and I just look at each other like, What just happened? Did you just help?
Sweet.
And, you know, I look at him like, oh, my God, that's so awesome. Thank you. And, you know, made a big deal out of it and complimented him and all that stuff.
Well,
and
yeah, it was, you want to give
cutest
him
thing. He did it again a second time.
Yeah, you want to give him praise for that. Because then he's like, oh, wait a second. That's the right thing to do.
Exactly, yeah. It was so exciting to just be like, oh, my God, like my little dude just unprompted went and did this thing that helped. And it was tiny. Yeah, he saved me
still
30 seconds and whatever. But it was like my boy was helping the household. It was cool.
That's awesome.
It was a cute moment.
I hope he sticks with that.
I hope so, too.
I hope Harper being at that age where she's an independent, she's starting to mouth off a little bit sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And it just worries me. Like, moments she'll help like that.
Well, you just wait.
And then, like, the other night, she wasn't eating her dinner. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, one day she's just going to tell you to eat a dick.
Well, no. I she got in trouble, and I went to go send her to her room, and she's like, I don't feel like listening to you.
Ooh.
I'm like, wow.
I don't feel like listening to you.
Like, well, you got a lot to learn. First off,
she really articulated that well. That was a very articulate way of saying, go fuck yourself,
yeah,
Dad.
I was very proud of the structure of the sentence, but
you know, that's what's going to, that's going to eventually evolve into go fuck yourself, Dad.
Yeah. And Dad's got power tools. I have no problem going in there and just taking shit apart.
That's a very good point.
I've done that. Well, I haven't taken anything apart yet, but like I've taken her stuffed animals and I've straight up told her before. I'm like, You push me, like, you'll go to bed one night, and it'll just be your mattress on the floor. I will take your bunk bed apart.
Right. I'll take the door off.
Oh, my.
That's one of my favorite things ever. Is
my parents
I
did that to me.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah,
okay.
I had that happen to me.
I didn't realize that was so much a thing.
It sucks.
I think the first time I heard about that was on, like, a sitcom or something like that. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was Kevin Hart doing stand-up. It was something. It was because I'm pretty sure he's talked about doing it.
Probably.
But there's, or it was another stand-up comedian, but there's, I've heard this a couple of times now, that people have done this, and I'd never heard of it for the longest time. Left-handed, Kobe! Oh,
ooh,
yeah. rest in peace, Kobe.
Pour one out for a homie.
Yeah. So I'd never heard of this thing until just, like, recently, and I think it's brilliant. I think it's a brilliant idea because you take away their, like, privacy.
Their space.
Yeah.
It becomes open.
Oh, man.
When I was younger, I went through a stage where I was slamming doors.
Stage.
That was a little bit later on. This is before that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was slamming doors and whatnot. And so my parents were like, you keep this up, you're going to lose your door.
Oh, you're going to lose your
and
door.
I'm like, me being a wise-ass kid, I'm like, fuck you, I'm calling your bluff. And sure as shit, they took my door. And they didn't, like, move it to a different part of the house. They just took it off the hinges, took all the hardware, and then placed it in the hall next to the doorway.
Awesome.
So I still had to look at the door every time I went through the doorway.
That's kind of brilliant. It's a little bit of, like, psychological torture.
It made it, like, 3 days before I'm like, okay, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah, what do you need me to do to remedy this?
I want
to
shut you guys out from the world. Give me back my door.
Exactly. Oh, man, that's good shit. Yeah, I know. It's, and those stages are coming. Like, you know, before too long, we're going to have to deal with that with our kids.
Apparently, I'm acting like a kid. I can't drink my beer.
Yeah, you need a sippy cup.
That would be kind of funny.
Jesus Christ,
yeah,
man.
That's the stuff. I love being a dad. I hate the punishment, like the bad moments. Mm. Kids are weird. When the moments are good, they're really good. But when they're bad, they can be really bad.
Yeah, they
know?
Can really suck, for sure. I know, and one of the things I've recently discovered with my son is that he can be, he's obstinate at times. Like, he'll push back, mm-hmm. and he'll refuse to do things. And one thing that works no matter what is dad voice.
Ooh, I know dad
voice. So, dad voice is like, get your shit, pick it up. You know, it's very direct. It's very like, this is what's happening with a...
Very stern to the point.
Very stern, yeah. And it perks him right up, and I have to turn into a drill sergeant sometimes. See, and it's he'll move fucking mountains if I have the right tone in my voice. I hate it.
That does not work in my house.
No. See, well, I love it, and I hate it, because it's like, it's effective, and that means that my son respects authority, but... I don't really want to be that dad, you know?
Yeah, I hate yelling. Like thing.
Yelling is the worst.
And it's awful because, like, I feel yelling's like the last resort.
It should be.
And it's like, but it doesn't do anything. It's your last resort, but it's pointless.
Oh, yelling doesn't work in your house?
No, it just pisses everybody off.
Yeah, it works in my house.
No.
Yeah, yelling's very effective. If it comes to that point and it... Yelling is absolutely the very last resort, and I'll do everything in my power to not arrive there. But sometimes it literally comes down to that, where my son is like trying to shove a toy in my daughter's mouth, and I'm across the room, and I have to like throw on like the dad, I'm gonna level you voice.
Yeah, get the fuck away from her.
Yeah, exactly. And then often that'll kind of stop him mid tracks, and he'll be, you know, panicked looking, and I hate it because it terrifies the both of them. But you know, sometimes you just have to do that, because if your kid is literally trying to put a cherry tomato in the mouth of your daughter, is going to choke on it.
You gotta get on them about
it. And in my opinion, that's the only time that it should come to that, or your kid grabs something sharp, you know, because that can sometimes happen. That you got a knife that's sitting out or something, and he happens to reach it, whatever.
Grabbing something sharp though and yelling can be, it's kind of the opposite, because sometimes they react and they jolt or whatever.
So true. I shouldn't use that as an example, because Atticus like literally hasn't grabbed anything sharp, thank goodness. What did he get his hands on? I think he got his hands on scissors once.
Harper likes her scissors, but she's good with them.
Well, and she's also like almost five.
Yeah,
or is five.
She is five, so she does lots of crafts and all that. She's fine. Roman's not there yet.
See, we got I got to redo the countertops in the kitchen, and we've got this, and it's actually where the dishwasher is going to be going.
I was gonna say, when do you want to come get that?
We'll figure that out. We'll talk about that tonight. So where that is, I had added another cabinet there, and there's supposed to be a countertop on the top of it. I just haven't gotten a chance because I need to cut it off of the section that I've already got, and ideally I want a miter saw, like the big radial arm saws are awesome for cutting countertops, right? I don't have access to one of those yet, so I got to figure that out. But anyway, so like, the top of it is open, and there's a microwave sitting on top of it with a couple of, like, a little bit of plywood. It's super janky looking. Like, I fully own the fact that this looks pretty lame. So you can reach up in into the junk drawer, basically, that's right there, and the scissors are in there, so he can reach in. He's grabbed all the things around it, and once he got his hands on the scissors and started trying to pull it out, and it was one of those like, oh, that could be a problem.
Yeah, scissors are...
Yeah. Your kids ever grabbed a butcher knife and scared the shit out of you?
No, but I had a butcher knife in my hand, and my kids ran up behind me and grabbed me.
Oh, my God,
that pissed me.
Scary.
Harper came running in, mocked Jesus, and gave me a hug, which I'm happy that she loves me, but I'm like, I yelled at her. I'm like, I have a fucking knife in my hand.
Yeah. What if you fell forward?
There's a time. Fell forward, fell back, and slipped on my hand. Like, there's a thousand things that are going through my mind. It's like, don't do that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know if I've had a moment like that with Atticus yet, but it'll happen because he's just like that. He'll charge you from the other room, especially with Dad. He doesn't do it with Mom as much, but with me, like, he will charge me with everything he's got for a hug. And yeah, I mean, if I had something sharp in my hands, like, that sucks because you're basically, like, screaming at your kid for
their own safety,
for being sweet.
Yeah.
I know, well-intentioned.
Yeah, that's one of those, like,
I don't know. What do you do, man? What do you do?
You're just fucked either way. Safe.
That's the moral of the story, is that as a parent, you're fucked either way. Yeah. There we go. That's the title of this episode. As a parent, you're fucked either way.
Yep. Yeah, parenting is... You're not... I don't know. We have a goal of, like, not being our kid's best friend.
Yeah.
I mean, that's rule number one. We're not friends with our kids.
That's one of my favorite things about your approach. Is that you guys... definitely are the authority.
Yeah, we enjoy spending time with our kids. We want the best for them and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But we are not friends with our kids.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, our priority is teaching not to be little assholes. And
right.
be safe and cognitive and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. For my kiddos, it's remained to be seen. They're still super young. I find myself, like, kind of in this, like, blended role, because like I'm Dad, I'm the authority for sure. So if that's what the approach is, then, like, I'm definitely not a friend. But in the same regard, it's like, I guess I'm probably more of a teacher. Like, that's maybe more of what it is. Like, I am a teacher, I'm a protector, I'm your mentor. More than likely, that's what it is. So it's like, it's going to be friendly and kind and all of those things, but I'm not your friend.
Yeah, I'm not. You know? Yeah, we're
not going to smoke weed together.
You know? Yeah, I'm not going to let my daughter just get away with whatever because it's fun or whatever. You know, it's we try and teach them, like, we're going to tell you things that are going to suck. You're not going to want to hear, but that's just how it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She got a fucking stool thing, chair that looks like a unicorn.
Yeah.
She smashed her finger the other day with it, and she was all like, oh, it hurts and all that. I'm like, I bet it does.
Mm-hmm.
You got hurt. Like, you're fucking fine.
Right,
like,
I know.
I just kind of looked at it. I'm like, yeah, I bet it does hurt. You sat on your finger, and it pinched it. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah, don't do that next time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean,
yeah, well,
I'm not going to baby you about it, because you got to learn that you got to learn to kind of judge your pain.
Yeah.
You don't need a Band-Aid. You don't need to go to the doctor. You're fine.
I think what you're describing isn't so much like parent versus, like, authority or whatever. I think what you're actually describing is, like, a parenting style of
we don't baby them.
No, it's the recognition of shit happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm sorry, kiddo, but you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. You're going to fuck up. You're going to make countless mistakes in your lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of them are going to literally hurt. Like, ouch, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dude, I've got, like, hurt.
I was the fucking kid.
Tons of time
kid,
of day
dude.
At work.
My God, I was the child, and I hope Atticus isn't like this. I hope he's better at it than I am. But I am literally the kid who my dad would be like, don't put your finger in the cigarette lighter in a car.
And
I would be like,
anyways.
Huh, I wonder why. And I would put my finger in the thing. I literally have that moment. I did that. And it is burned into my memory because Jesus Christ, that hurt. You know, I touch, like, the and I don't know what it is with heat with me, but, like, I
don't touch the stove.
The stove, the top of, like, the burners. Like, I was like, after my mom was like, that's really hot, stay away from it. I was like, I wonder why.
Some kids are like that, though.
Such a dipshit, dude.
You kind of still are, but in a good way.
Here's the thing, though, like, here's the trade-off. So, because I'm that kid, I also was absolutely fearless. Which is horrifying to my parents.
You're fearless, and as an adult, you're always like, how does this work? Like, you're curious, too.
Yeah.
And in a positive way. You're not, like, you're not doing dumb stuff for curiosity. Like, oh, what does meth do to you?
No, actually, that one is not on my checklist.
But you're like, oh,
it never will be.
How does this 1950 Ford come apart?
Oh, for sure.
So, and I think that's what it is. Is you learn when you're that kind of kid, you learn not to be scared of anything, but you also learn how to kind of control your curiosity in a positive manner.
Yeah, like, definitely. Oh,
Mom said this is going to hurt like hell. I'm not going to be curious about this one, but she didn't say anything about that, so I'm going to try that.
Okay, so...
did you not pick up on that as you got older?
Okay, so I can make a good example of this. So, as you know, I have no fear of heights, or I have very, very little fear of heights.
Yeah, and I don't like needles or heights, and my job requires me to go high up in the air, and I'm covered in tattoos.
Well, in that respect, then, I think that's very respectable. So, when I was a kid... and sorry, you guys, if you're going to hear the heater kick on and off. I meant to have it on just steady, constant, but you're going to hear that hopefully only, like, once in the video. But anyway, okay, so, like, as a kid, I think I was 10 years old. So prior to that, I was climbing trees in the front yard, which was, like, I'd climb up, I don't know, 8 feet, something like that. I'm a little kid. I'm like 8 years old and I'm climbing trees in the front yard and it's very like small things or whatever. And I had a few instances where I fell off and I got the wind knocked out of me and whatever. Well, up at my cabin, which is what eventually became our home. Basically my family owns a huge chunk of a lake around here. And we had a cabin up there. My folks owned it. And then we just moved there. We turned that into our house. So this happened around that time. We moved out there, started developing it, building into a house, attaching a gigantic house onto the back of an old cabin. Super cool, right? But there's massive Norway trees everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Norways have these massive thick branches, and there was a couple of really healthy ones out there that had some good branches towards the bottom, so you could climb these things. And I have a couple of memories of my mom stepping out of the cabin because it's on a giant hill and the Norway is a little bit lower down. It's probably in terms of elevation, like maybe 20 feet higher is where the cabin is, maybe even 30 feet where the base of the tree is. And I am eye level looking at my mom and she steps out of the house and she's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "You're going to kill yourself. There's literally rocks, big rocks at the bottom of this tree." God. And here's this 10, 11 year old kid
just going straight up,
just climbing this gigantic tree. I was that kid. So it's probably not super surprising to you that then as a 25 year old, I started rock climbing up these, you know, rock walls that are up on the North Shore, 100 and some odd feet high, comfortably climbing all of that. So to bring this back around, my son, I'm a little worried because he's starting to show a little bit of this fearlessness with his front flips and all this kind of stuff, is that I'm going to have a lifetime of heart attacks of my little boy who's doing crazy shit. I don't know. You never know. He's super young, so you don't know what he's going to become. But
either way,
I don't know.
It's going to be awesome. Kids are awesome. Crazy. Kids make life fun.
They do. The kids are the fucking best. And this is like really turned into like the kid podcast. So
but other
fuck
than,
it. Let's do that. Let's roll with that.
Other than the beginning where we were talking about swear words.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. All good podcasts start with talking about swear words,
that's
right?
True.
So one of the things that like, okay, let me back this up. So your childhood, I don't know a ton about it. For better or for worse,
I had one.
Do you want what your childhood was like for your children?
No.
Okay.
Not in any way. Well, I was going to say not in any way. There were moments in my childhood that were really good.
Mm-hmm.
But with my parents' divorce when I was like 11 or 12.
Ooh, that's a rough time to have that.
Yeah, I don't want them to go through that. Like, so all of that was a significant turning point in my life. There's some positives that did come out of that. Oh, my stepdad's fantastic.
That's true. Your stepdad's awesome.
It got me to step away from religion and a lot of political bullshit that my dad's side of the family is all invested in.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put that nicely.
Hyper-religious.
And it did cause me to fall in love with music.
Oh, nice. So, was music a part of the coping for it?
Yeah. So some of you might wonder why I have Hybrid Theory tattooed on my left forearm.
That's a Linkin Park album.
Their first album. For a couple reasons. A, that's the first album I ever fell in love with. And I discovered that album when my parents were going through their divorce.
Damn.
So
that's a good time, because that album is very much related to this sort of like fuck authority.
Yes. So
type message.
When they were going through all that and they were fighting all the time, stuff like that, I would listen to that album a lot as a as a 12-year-old, and that's
damn.
That holds a very special place in my heart. I know a lot of people give Linkin Park shit, but that album,
oh, it's excellent.
That means the world to me. So,
do you think that, like, you see, your kid's childhood, your approach is probably going to be more of like, I'm going to do everything in my power so that my kids don't have the childhood I did.
Yeah, I want to be around for my kids' childhood. Yeah. Not to say my dad wasn't, but when your parents are divorced and just all the mind games that happen and stuff like that, I don't want my kids to ever experience stuff like that. And that's, I remember some things prior to that, but that was such a significant part of my childhood that that's primarily what I remember of my childhood, other than hanging out with some friends and stuff like that.
I suppose
my wife and I have set some goals for ours, for us. It's like, we both love traveling, so we're like, we're gonna do one family trip a year to somewhere just fun.
Awesome.
So like, Florida was our first family trip we've ever done, other than taking the kids to the Dells. So like, that's stuff that we try to do really good, is just take them on and do fun stuff.
Right.
For instance, this weekend, Harper is going to go over to my mom's house and stay the night and go swimming with her at the Y. And Roman's going to come up to bowling with me. I have leagues tomorrow night. So he's going to come up there with me and hang out with Grandpa and me. And then Saturday morning, we're going to take him to go play disc golf, because that's what he loves to do.
Hell yeah.
And so, like, that's the biggest thing, is just spending time doing things that they enjoy doing. Like, I remember fishing a lot with my dad when I was younger and spending some one-on-one time. And I try to incorporate, like, that's one positive thing from my childhood I try to incorporate with them, is just making sure that if I spend 2 hours with Roman on Saturday, that at some point in time within the next week, I got to spend 2 hours with Harper, or just the two of us.
You got to balance it.
And sometimes it's dumb shit. Sometimes it's like, hey, Harper, I'm just going to go to Menards. Come with me. Mm-hmm. Like, Roman went to Super One with me yesterday. Like, let's just get the house. It's dumb.
No, that's a good
but
thing.
But he appreciates just that little 20 minutes we went there. Now he likes peanuts. So it's like, okay, cool. Get a thing of peanuts. Dad's going to buy, we were making tacos, so I bought queso.
Nice.
So I'm like, cool. Like, that's your little trip with Dad. You know, Harper got to be out in the garage with me for half an hour that night, taking out the shifter and stuff like that. And
oh, no shit. Harper helped you take the shifter out?
Harper sat in the car with Ryan as Ryan helped me take the shifter out.
Well, that's really cool. That's
she was
cute.
Just out. She's just out in the garage, just hanging out with us.
Help out. That's awesome.
So it's like, that's the one thing from my childhood I am trying to incorporate, is just spending some one-on-one time. Because like I said, my dad and I, we would go fishing and it'd just be the two of us. And that I really liked.
Yeah, those were good moments. Yeah, man. That's one of the things that just, and I hope that comes to the surface for every parent or every new parent, is you start looking back more on your time and go like, okay, well, what are the things that I loved from my own childhood that I need to foster for my own kids, you know? So for me, and it's the craziest thing. It's like, hindsight is 20/20. So I, as I alluded to earlier, like we had a cabin, and then so my family owned a crazy amount of land up on this lake in northern Minnesota, and there was like it's the coolest thing. It was like our chunk, cousins' chunk, grandparents' chunk, great grandparents, like old property that was owned way over here too, and so it's all like this big stretch.
You owned half a lake.
I'm not even kidding when I say that there was a moment in the past where my great-grandfather could have purchased the entire lake.
Damn.
Yeah. And he decided, I'll only want to own half of it. And he owned about half of it at one point.
God damn. I fished on that lake. It's a good-sized lake, too.
It is, yeah. So my family could have literally owned the entire thing. But at that point in history, this was, I don't know, 80 years ago or something like that. So it wasn't really, there were a lot less human beings back then. So it wasn't really that much of a thing. It was like, well, why do I need all of this land that I got to upkeep it and all that?
And now land is so precious that.
Yeah, it would have been incredible to own all of that.
You spend a crap ton or you inherit most of it.
Yeah. So I grew up, after we moved from our home to the cabin, it was a absolute dream come true. But as an adolescent, I didn't realize that. I was just like, okay, cool, this is kind of where I live. Oh, cool, I can go swimming every single day. I can go fishing every single day. I had my own little sailboat. I had all these little really cool things. We had a paddle boat that I'd use all the time. I had my little spot down on the lake shore that I would just go sit and watch sunsets. Like, I had a lot of like really nice. Cool things. We had a big play set up on the top of the hill and all this stuff. Amazing. I liked it. I didn't realize how incredibly special my childhood was.
Yeah. Yeah, not a lot of kids get to grow up in that kind of environment.
My childhood was a literal dream come true. So now as an adult, looking back, and even before I had kids, I was like, you know, that was pretty wild. Because I get to know more and more people. I mean, I grew up in a place, I went to high school with literally K through 12, like 500 kids or 400 and some odd kids.
That's like my graduating class.
Yeah, tiny school. And then move to Duluth, and I get to know a lot more people, and then I get a lot more perspective on what childhood looks like for most people. And I had a literal dream childhood living up there. So where I'm going with this and why I asked that question was, like, I've thought a lot about this, and now that's why I'm starting to develop land and actually build up there as well, because I'm trying to give my kids a taste of what I had growing up and have my own piece of all of that.
See, and I find that so, first off, that's awesome, because you absolutely should give your children a piece of that. Because that, like you said, that is the dream scenario for a childhood.
Mm-hmm.
With my wife and I both being from divorced parents, like we're both like, we don't fight in front of the kids. Like, that's one of the rules we have. We have nice. Arguments.
That's awesome.
We don't fight in front of the kids. So it's just it is interesting how your childhood affects you so much.
Right. Yeah, like, it gives you so much perspective. Like, you know.
Like, I don't think either one of us had a bad childhood, but it makes us want our kids to have that much better of a childhood.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, and so I grew up with a dad who my dad worked his ass off so that my mom could raise all of us. And we could have all of these things. So he worked his ass off, so we had a nice home, and then we also had a cabin. And then it went from selling that to working his ass off to, like, not only was he doing his main job, but then he was also building the house that we grew up in. So we went from, like, living in a cabin primarily to, like, literally developing and building the house that attached to it. And that's why I'm decent at building stuff. It's because as a tiny kid, as a, you know, 8-year-old or 10-year-old, like, I was there watching framing go up. I was there seeing foundations getting poured. I was there, like, when they were welding up the well and stuff like that. Like, I got to see all of these things, and I got to help a tiny bit.
More than just hold the flashlight?
Yeah, my parents actually let me sand, sand sheetrock and, like, you know, swing a hammer which I know that's the bitch job.
That's the worst job.
It is literally the
worst
job.
That's worse than holding the flashlight.
It is, but it's cool because then you realize, like, oh, that's neat. So, like, this material that you put on the wall, you make it smooth and you paint over it, and then you don't see any of the, you don't see anything below it.
Yeah.
And one of the neatest things, and this is, and I frequently talk about this when I'm visiting with anybody who's apprehensive about making changes to their home, is I go, when you realize how simple a house is a series of sticks to make a framework with a veneer over the top of it in the back. There is nothing to it. There's some wires ran behind it. There's some tubes running behind it. It's incredibly simple.
It's funny you say
that. And I learned all of that from my childhood.
We put up a new back door last Saturday. I'm okay at housework. I didn't have that. I got into cars because my dad was into cars. Growing up, he had a Pontiac Le Mans and a Chevy Love.
Yeah, so that sounds awesome.
Those are the two cars I remember growing up. And that's what first sparked my interest in it. But like I said, they got divorced. My stepdad, though, is not a handy person. He's into movies.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Which is where my love for movies came from.
So he's a movie buff.
He likes just Star Trek and Star Wars and all that kind of stuff.
You know what? To give him more credit than just saying he's into movies, he loves stories.
He loves stories, and he is the reason I have the sense of humor I do. Mm-hmm. Because he's a very witty, very quick, funny person. So I learned around him instantly, like, oh shit, you got to hold your own.
Yeah, you got to keep up with this.
Fast on your feet.
Yeah.
So that's a big positive out of all of it, but yeah, my experience with working on homes is you're one out of three. That ain't bad.
Yeah, ain't bad.
Ain't good, but
33% earned rent run average.
But all my
that's a pitching thing, isn't it?
Yes, run average.
I don't know. It's sports.
Touchdown.
It's some baseball thing. I don't know. Touchdown.
But all my stuff I learned to do to the house. I learned either from friends or just doing it myself. So I never put an exterior door in, and I'm thinking like, oh shit, I don't want to screw this up because it's an exterior door. Mm-hmm. My buddy came over. We had a hard time pulling it out with how they did it in the 60s because the house was built in 1916, and then somebody put a door in it in like the 60s or 70s, mm-hmm. and they kind of hacked it. But the biggest thing was like, is it square?
Yeah, is like, it square? Oh. Is it plumb?
Like, we got it all done, and it was a bitch, but I'm like, okay, I could tackle this myself now. Like, this is stupid easy.
Right.
It's not hard. It's like the biggest thing is to make sure you have some 1x4s just in case and like two packs of shims just in case.
Have a bunch of shims. Make sure you get your trim work. Stuff that thing with insulation in the pockets.
Yep.
Don't use expanding foam ever.
That's what I have to use. I don't have any other option.
Oh, really? You could just grab bats and tear the fluff off and shove it in there.
It's tight in some spots.
Just be warned, expanding foam expands, and what can happen is it will tighten those gaps. Your door might get sticky.
Yeah, and he told me very well, he's like, do a very little bit at a time. He's like, you don't want to go crazy.
You couldn't rip bats off and
there's a couple of spots where you can only just get the straw of, like, it's that tight. So he's like, just do a little squirt, let it sit for a couple of days, go back, do a little squirt.
Yeah.
So that's what I've done.
That's cool. Okay.
But like, we got it all done, and it took 5 hours because it took forever to get the old door out. Mm-hmm. But like, it's not that complicated.
No, it's not.
It's really simple.
Once you you peel back a layer, you realize how simple everything is.
I still have to do the trim work, which is on my project list for Friday.
Yeah.
Or Saturday.
Yeah, well, and the funny thing is, like, I mean, that's how houses work, is, like, trim is what hides all of the bullshit behind it. So it's, like, if you're not great at, splitting your drywall or whatever, you don't cut just, like, perfectly, the trim is what hides it.
Well, we have shit.
Then it looks great.
We have sheetrock. Hey, 50%.
Hey, 50%, yeah.
Ironically, though, while we were working out there, Roman was out there. He's got this little toy hammer, and he's just hitting shit with
it. He's like, I'm helping. I'm hitting this boot, and now I'm hitting this handle.
Oh, it's the deck. Whatever, kid. Did I tell you what he did on the grill the other day?
Oh, boy.
So when we had that snow...
Did he grill his hammer?
No, when we had that snowstorm, wife bought brats because it was nice out, and then it snowed. So I made brats in the snow. I was grilling in the snowstorm.
We would barbecue... It could be 30 below outside. We would barbecue.
Yeah. In Minnesota.
Growing up, yeah.
So I go outside, uncover the grill, get it started, took a warm up and all that kind of stuff. And Roman followed me out there. And as I was heading back in, I looked over. He on the porch, he has a toy, like, Fisher-Price grill.
Yeah.
He's cleared all the snow off of it. Whatever. Okay. Go back out 10 minutes later after the grill warms up, toss the broads on. I look over. Roman brought out a plastic hot dog and put it on his grill. I go back inside. I come back out 10 minutes later or 5 minutes later, whatever, to flip the broads. Mm-hmm. I look over. He's flipping his plastic hot dog over.
That's so cute.
He did that the entire time I was grilling. And then I shut it off, and he brought his plastic hot dog back inside.
So I have a phrase that I use. Like when I see something that's like super cute, I say it's gross because it literally gives me a gross feeling of like, ugh, that's too cute for me to handle. That's one of those moments.
Yeah, I just laughed. I'm like, you are a fucking sponge, man.
Well, yeah. What is that saying? Imitation is the most sincere form of flattery.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it. This kid is imitating you.
He imitates. Jesus. He's at that age where he imitates everybody, though.
Well, then, hey, he's complimenting everybody.
he loves watching bowling. Mm-hmm. And he apparently took interest in the two-handed bowlers. He went from trying to do it one-handed to, like, well, they're using two hands, though. So he'll take both his hands and he'll try to, like, roll it with both hands at the pins and shit. Yeah.
Well, so, I'm sure he feels like it's advantageous. He's little, so he doesn't have a ton of strength yet.
And I have two hands to make it easier to hang on to it, so.
So, yeah, I'm just going to try it with these two hands. That's so cool.
But he's just soaking up everything. And he winds up,
like, he walks towards the line and
he hasn't. We haven't taken him to the bowling alley to try it yet. Mm-hmm. He's got plastic pens and stuff at home.
That's right.
But yeah. He'll take his plastic bowling ball and he'll put two hands on it, and he won't, like, cock it back and then push forward, but you'll see him take both hands and push the ball forward with both hands to try and shoot it at the pins. It's just like you're just soaking up life right now and trying to figure out everything. And
man, you know, I wish that we could get our hands on, because I know you're talking about doing a little teeny bowling alley in your basement.
Yeah, I want to build a lane.
And you think about for like his size, and even for like adults too. You could probably have a good time with, and I go like, okay, well, I wish you could get plywood sheets that are in like 14 feet long or something like that. Like that to me would be a really decent length or something, you know, rather than like having to try and like use little planks or something to try and seam together. Because plywood would give you like a perfectly flat if you got like a really nice piece.
And you can cover, like you said, a ton of area all at once.
Yeah, exactly.
Takes the guesswork out.
You're not sanding stuff and whatever, but did you see that listing that I shared with you?
Yeah.
That was of like literal bowling alley.
I would love to scoop that up. So this is something I want to build, but we need to go through our basement. We got all the holiday decorations are down there. Mm-hmm. The wife's three fucking Christmas trees, which I mean that in the nicest way, wife. If you're watching this.
Wife. I love that you address it as like wife.
Christine, babe, hey you. The one with the butt. I mean, like, what do
you the one with the butt. The one that deals with my bullshit.
Which could be a lot of bullshit depending on the week.
Definitely.
This week for sure. I mean, just working overtime, she's dealt with a lot of it. She's just kind of like, I get it. You're tired. Just don't be an ass. Hang out with the kids. Hang out with the kids. They just want to spend time with you. Just hang out with the kids. Okay. Yeah. I can do
that's
that.
That's a pretty easy thing.
Kids, you want to watch The Talking Robot? Cool. We're watching Futurama.
The Talking Robot.
Well, kids are fun.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up on an hour. I feel like we've given you enough
insight,
enough kid talk. Thank you very much for joining us. I don't know which episode this is.
37.
I don't even remember what we were going to title this. We talked about it somewhere in the middle.
It was either about the C word or kids.
It was definitely not about the C word because that was the beginning. Shit, now I'm going to have to dig for that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you, I want to say next week, but honestly, we're putting out the podcast as often as we can.
Yes.
We're trying to do it every week. It's been challenging because we're also trying to get out regular episodes.
We're trying to build regular episodes.
Man, so we've got two serious builds going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And on top of that, life is crazy. You're on overtime.
Yeah,
and you've got another baby on the way. And I have two small children building we, a cabin.
We picked the worst time in life to try and achieve all of this.
We did, but it also could be the best time in life could because be. We have all the stories.
We do have all the stories. I mean, I know in 10 years I look back on the BMW build and be like, oh, my kids got to help me build that sometime. Like, they were in the garage a couple of times for all this.
That's super cool.
That's super cool.
I look back on this time as, like, the... I always appreciate the hustle afterwards because I go, like, oh, wow, like, I accomplished a lot during this time. So it's looking at, like, put all of what we did in the last year to this thing is crazy accomplishments.
Oh, yeah.
So it's... Yeah, it's a good feeling, man. I mean... It hurts the productivity when we've got two, like, serious tasks we do. We do a podcast, which is a lot. Like, most people just do a podcast, and that's it.
Yeah,
and we do literally a podcast, and we try and put out regular episodes of our builds, which we have to build our builds. Like, we don't just sit here on a mic and talk shit.
Yeah.
Where we kind of do... But we don't do that the whole time.
No, we try to take an hour and a half out of our week to do it.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. So, thanks, guys. We always appreciate you guys watching. The main channel, Dad Mods, if you haven't checked that out, if you happen to stumble across this podcast and you enjoy it, you ain't seen nothing yet. Until you see the actual Dad Mods channel. Which is really our bread and butter, and where we pour all of our heart and soul into building these ridiculous things and putting out really fun videos.
Very fun videos. You might learn a thing or two, or you might just laugh your ass off.
Hopefully you get a little bit of both.
Yeah, I hope so.
Honestly, we're doing the very best that we can with it, and it's growing. Like, it's actually starting to take off now, so we thank all of you for watching, if you are. And
do we mention our... Our new connection?
Yeah. Jesus. We're not quite done yet.
No. All Hold right. the phone. Stop the press. I don't know any other slang term.
This is funny because it's a big-ass box that's full of stuff, but, like, I can't grab the whole box. So I'm going to knock everything off of the table.
Yeah, you're very clumsy.
Okay, so we actually have for our Dad Mods channel, as I alluded to, things are kind of progressing and going really well. We have a second contributor to the show. So what we have here is Super Clean. It's a company that does, like, cleaning products.
Degreasers, stuff like that.
Yeah, degreasers. Floor dry.
I forgot to make floor dry.
Yeah, we got a big thing of it.
Floor dry is, like, the number one thing you need in your garage. If you ever own a house with a garage, floor dry is, like, number one. What else is in the box?
You want your hat?
I don't wear hats, but...
I know, right? This is so funny. I feel like such a douche. Like covering myself in, like, one brand. But, I mean, I gotta say, like, I appreciate them getting on board with us. Super Clean is, and this is what's shocked me. This is a good reflection of, like, we're doing a good job here.
Yes, we're making steps in progress.
And I'm not a very, like, I'm not a narcissist, so I don't just go, like, yo, well, of course they want in. I really appreciate the fact that a major company, if you guys aren't super familiar with them, check Walmart. You could probably find them at O'Reilly's.
I think Menards might have some of their stuff as well.
I think so too. Like, they're all over the place. These guys are everywhere, and they have become a contributor of the Dad Mods channel.
They reached out to us, which is crazy to think.
Yep. So, thank you very much, Super Clean, for joining the, joining as a contributor for the channel. Appreciate you guys. We're excited
to use these products like crazy. We got an SR20 to clean up. There's stuff on this that's gonna get cleaned up. We got your suspension work still on it.
God, yes. The whole rear end.
Yes, we're gonna put this shit to the test.
We really are. Your engine bay's got to get cleaned up before painting too, which I thought that's perfect. We got to degrease a 1986 BMW,
which probably is all factory.
Yeah, so this is amazing timing for all of this stuff, and with just all the builds that we do anyways, like, we're always needing to try and clean shit up anyway. So cool. Like, thanks, Super Clean, for joining as contributors of the Dad Mods channel. So thank you guys very much for like tuning into all the videos that we're producing. It's clear that you guys are enjoying it. You're getting something out. So then we're doing what our goal is,
which is have fun and provide content for you guys. So
yeah, hell yeah, man. So thank you very much for joining us on another podcast. We'll see you guys hopefully next week if all goes as planned. Otherwise, it will be the following.
And if not, just wait longer.
Generally, it's every other week.
Yes. And
generally.
life gets busy. Shit happens.
It does. What do you do? So thank you. We'll see you guys later.
Peace.
Bye-bye.